Picture this. A recording studio somewhere far, far away.
You bugger!
Say, kids, what time is it?
It's time for...
The Merry White House Experience! Whoa! Thank you. I'm David Baddiel, and this is Punt and Dennis.
Increased her happiness, ran down the street which she had once run down so often, when she had dreamed of saying all the things which now her mind told her she was unable to be prepared to have once having been said. Next, we move on to biology. Here you'll find that a large section of the paper is multiple choice. Multiple choice papers have one distinct advantage, this being the fact that out of the four possible answers, one is always very obviously wrong. Question 3. What is the name of the fluid that lubricates the joint at the elbow? Is it A. Synoptical fluid, B. Synovial fluid, C. Hemiopteric fluid, D. Jeff Hurst in the 1966 World Cup? There is always one answer like that. Hemiopteric fluid, which only a cretin would choose. Next we come to maths. Now the important thing to remember with maths is that there will always be a question about plan and elevation. This is known in the examining world as the piss-easy question, and is put in specifically for everyone who can't remember how to calculate the area of a rhombus, which is most people. Now an important subject, essay technique. This is vital for English and history, and once you've mastered a few basic essay techniques, exams will never be a problem again. Essay technique is all derived from the one fundamental precept of exams. What you have revised will never come up. This is known as Baker's Law, and can be stated as a formula. The formula being, x over y minus the square of the amount of time you spent watching Top of the Pops when you should have been reading Macbeth, equals the area of a rhombus. Now, bear in mind that what you have revised will never come up. The first fundamental exam essay technique is known as twisting the question. This involves turning a question on something you haven't revised into something you have revised. The question, write a character study of Hamlet which explores his indecision. Your answer, in order to fully explore the character and indecision of Hamlet, it is first necessary to consider that had Hamlet been Scottish, his situation would have been very similar to that of Macbeth. If indeed Macbeth had been Danish. Cue 8 sides on Macbeth. Result, a high mark for sheer nerve. The next important feature of essay technique involves how to spread an essay over 4 sides when you only know 2 facts. Let's take an example, an essay on Henry VII. Examiners are well used to reading things like this. England, towards the end of the 15th century, was a land. A land full of English people, who produced various goods which they exported, primarily overseas. Henry VII came to the throne in time to rule over the English people, who had not had a king since Henry's predecessor, who was Richard the King. It was with great rejoicing amongst nobility and peasantry alike that Henry, a few years after he became king in succession to his predecessor, passed the Treaty of Etaples, whose importance need not be stated. Sheer genius. The candidate knows one fact, that Henry VII passed the Treaty of Etaples. He doesn't know when or where or why, and its importance cannot be stated because he doesn't have the faintest idea what its importance was. Still, a safe pass, and if it's a public school candidate, a place at Oxford. Finally, don't forget that history, like most subjects, also has get-out questions for people who can't find a single question they can answer. History papers usually end up with a question like this. Write an essay on at least one of the following. A. The Peterloo Massacre. B. The Repeal of the Corn Laws. C. The Rise of Napoleon. D. What Happened in Neighbours Yesterday. E. The First World War. F. The Second World War. G. Any Other War. H. Anything You Know About.
And if you can't even answer that,
you could end up in the Ministry of Education.
Good night. Good night.
Hello, and here's a bit of advice for the girls. If you're planning to get married, don't, for God's sake, marry a Cosmo man. He's a man of the 80s. He's intelligent, sensitive, caring. What a boring old bastard he must be, eh? But, of course, I shouldn't be rude about him, because, remember, he is incredibly right on. His car isn't penis-shaped. Unfortunately, neither is his penis.
Now, we on the Mary Whitehouse Experience thoroughly support the Green Party, not only because of their policies, but also because, unless we're very much mistaken, one of their main candidates and spokesmen seems to be David Icke, sometime presenter of Sports Night, the snooker, and if nobody else can cover, World Championship Speedway.
David Icke is also notable because his name is actually spelled Icky.
What we can't believe, however, is that after David Icke had done his interview on the 6 o'clock news, Nicholas Witchell didn't say,
"And now today's other news. In Tehran, the new gov..." Hang on a minute. Wasn't that the bloke who presents the snooker? Oh, no, I must have been drinking again. Anyway, in Tehran, I think his name's David Icke. Oh, well, I've got something coming through now. Yes, I've been fired.
Subsequent investigations of the Euro elections have proved that David Icke was not the only sports presenter representing a political party. Another was Trevor Brooking.
It's very difficult for me to say.
Who we can hear there laying down the key European policies of the SLD. David Coleman, meanwhile, stood on behalf of the Revolutionary Communist Party.
And so a question for Evelyn's team. What I want to know, Evelyn, is why is military conflict an inevitable byproduct of the capitalist system?
Bayern Munich. And I believe I played in that match myself.
Meanwhile, the German Republican Party itself, canvassing for support in this country, looks for a sympathetic presenter who perhaps had broken the boycott on South African sport.
Well, really, Desmond, the supremacy of the Aryan race is something which is all too easily scoffed at these days, especially when it has produced such genetic mutations as my chin and indeed my sick and diseased mind.
But of course, none of these presenters ever let their politics interfere with their work.
Well, really, Desmond, I'm prepared to admit that John Barnes has had a very good game so far, but I'm not so sure I'm prepared to admit the rest of his family into this country.
Excuse me, Jimmy.
Yes, Desmond, what is it?
Hello, and tonight on the Press Review Experience, I would like to review what is commonly known by the boys as a knob mag. God knows why, because I couldn't find a knob in it anywhere. But, this particular magazine is called Parade. Yes, you all know it, boys, don't you? And I should say this is not a magazine you should buy to broaden your knowledge of quantum mechanics theory or the wines of Provençal, but it seems to be a selection of women with pained expressions who appear to have recently had their ovaries hoovered out. Now, because I'm having a bit of a go at this magazine, I think many people will probably think that I'm just jealous and I have a secret longing myself to look good enough so I can appear in Parade. Well, what I should say, actually, is that I deliberately keep my weight up so that I don't appeal to the bunch of self-abusers who read magazines like this. Now, what I actually like to do is walk past my local building site several times a day just to reassure myself that the bunch of Neanderthals hanging off the scaffolding definitely aren't going to ask me out for a date. Now, the main feature of Parade magazine this month introduces us to the hitherto unseen bits of Donna Methven. I don't know if you'll remember her. She hit the headlines as Tony Jacklin's schoolgirl lover. And these are certainly not her holiday snaps. That's unless she went on an 18 to 30 holiday, of course. In which case, they're a bit tame. So what else did the magazine have to offer? Well, the business section was most enlightening. Because there wasn't one. But I did feel there might be some light relief when I came across the jokes page. Sadly, not though. Such charmers as, what's the difference between a vitamin and a hormone? You can't hear a vitamin. Yes, every man that laughs at that is going to be executed on the way out, all right? This joke, of course, is horribly sexist and factually incorrect. A vitamin is an organic substance essential for the health of an animal organism, and a hormone is an internal secretion which exercises a specific physiological action. That's factually correct and funnier as well, isn't it? Finally, the magazine was peppered with adverts for salacious books, videos and phone lines. Such lovely video titles as The Milkman Always Rings Twice and Leaves Extra Cream. Mine doesn't, he just comes all over my leg. I thought also I wouldn't bother to buy How to Drive Your Man Wild in Bed. I find a handful of cockroaches perfectly adequate. But from reading the magazine, I've managed to build up a picture of the average reader. He's probably called Shane, probably goes on holiday to Benidorm, and he functions at the evolutionary level of an Abyssinian guinea pig. People like Shane, I would imagine, don't think they've had a decent holiday unless they've been charged with manslaughter. But one good thing about Shane is you can always tell when he's around because he's normally wearing his favourite aftershave, Incontinent Docker, I think it's called. Well, anyone that smells him, just kick him in the bollocks, all right?
Hello, I'm Rob Newman, and I'd like to do a reading from my forthcoming novel, Too Hard for the SAS, and we pick it up in Chapter 5. Just then, Robert's girlfriend, Princess Caroline, stormed up to him and said, "It's over." Robert begged her to explain, so she said, "You're completely immature, period." And he said, "Period." Please welcome Skin Video.
And now it's time for the Skin Video Wiltshire Police plain clothes experience. Now, we just come back from Glastonbury, haven't we, Sarge?
Yeah, man.
It was rough, quiet, man. And we made only one arrest.
Yeah, I busted this geezer for impersonating a large pink antelope with fuzzy felt eyes.
And here's a little song that we should sing around the campfire.
We come down to Glastonbury, me and the CID, in our baggy loons, smoking mushrooms, smoking all night. Look at those funny lights. I feel so laid back, I don't want to go home. Skin up another sod, stick on the old winter set. I'm so high, I'm in the flying squad. I'm talking to God. Oh no, hang on, that's not Jesus, it's James Anderton.
Thank you. It must have escaped nobody's notice that we're experiencing a very hot summer. It's also become increasingly clear that this is not a freak event, but rather an expression of profound changes in the ecological makeup of the planet.
A particularly disturbing problem as things get hotter will be the smell. Even people normally thought of as icons of cleanliness might be affected.
And here comes the royal party. And as the Queen, radiant as ever, approaches the commentary box, she raises her arm for a royal wave. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to be sick.
And as the The Queen Mother approaches the crowd. I can hear them shouting, "Mom, Mom!" And some of them are actually lobbing bottles of Mom at her.
The Queen herself stepping down from the carriage for her walkabout. The crowd, many of whom have waited here all day, are rushing away from her.
Wait! Come back, you bastard!
Of course, as the temperature goes up, there will be a new sign at swimming pools to go with no ducking, no bombing, no petting, and no pushing. No water. Nevertheless, people will still pay £1.50 to get verrucas and roll around in a 9-year-old turd.
Occupations may be affected. In the future, a BBC weather forecaster may sound like this.
Oh, wife and 2 kids to support. 10p, sir, that's all I ask.
Lastly, we have to think about how ordinary people will be affected. Train spotters unable to remove their duffel coats will perish in their thousands. Skinheads will fracture their toes trying to kick people in with their sandals. And lastly, with summer lasting practically all the year round, the Tory party will have to find some other way of getting rid of pensioners. Specifically at the moment, Margaret Thatcher.
Hello everyone, my name's Mark Thomas. What I do in this bit of the show is I choose a topic which I'm going to discuss with you. I do a bit of material and then I come around you and get your views and opinions. I've actually been doing masses of green benefits, masses of sort of green wedge and all that kind of stuff. I love doing those benefits, but I just think the Greenpeace thing is just a little bit middle class. I think some of the green politics is a nice way for the middle class to be a little bit rebellious without affecting the mortgage rate. But I'm into it because so much stuff has been going on that doesn't get answered for. So many disasters, or they're called disasters. Like, the guy who was sort of working with King's Cross, he was sort of responsible for King's Cross, or responsible for the underground network. When the disaster happened, he didn't resign. Well, he actually did resign, but that was to go and work for the Channel Tunnel. The guy's working for the Channel Tunnel. What happens? He mucks up there. He goes over to NASA and helps them out with the shuttle. I can't believe it. He was in charge when the thing burnt down. What did they ask him in the interview? Was it? Well, there's a lot of competition for this job. We've got the guys from Chernobyl outside. They're after it as well.
For God's sake!
I can't handle this because, like, the British people are just stupid when it comes to accidents or incidents of this nature. Like the hazelnut yogurt thing. They're just going, oh, no, that's terrible, isn't it? Oh, that's really hazelnut yogurt. Oh, that was so near. Good job it wasn't the peach Melba, wasn't it? Yeah. Otherwise, Brian would have caught it, you see. Yeah. Oh, no, I can't handle it. And the worst thing about all these incidents that happen, all the accidents, they call them disasters. As if they're acts of God. God's sitting up there going, oh, what shall I do today? Oh, there's a ship. You know, it's kind of crazy because they're preventable accidents. Like, now, this is brilliant. Now, London Regional Transport, in charge of the undergrounds, they don't have fires anymore. They're smoulderings. We call it a smouldering. It sounds rather nice, doesn't it? Oh, there's a smouldering going on down at Moorgate. We'll go down there, shan't we? Oh, a smouldering. Get the jacket potatoes out. Does anyone know Kookaburra lives in the old gum trees? Can't handle that. What is amazing, though, is they don't actually train staff. I blame the management. I do, because it's their job to train them. They don't train staff. There's people running up the escalators, running up to the guards and going, look, there's a fire. There's a fire on the escalator. Well, as long as it's got a valid ticket, that's all right. God, it really... Oh, like, what they expect is we'll be lying underneath all this rubble and there'll be flames licking all around us. The whole place will be on fire. And somehow we'd crawl out and reach a CB radio set and go, International Rescue. Calling International Rescue. As if, actually, it'd be brilliant if International Rescue did what the government did, you know. Emergency, emergency, we have an emergency. Brains, what do you think we should do? Well, I would visit the victims in hospital. Virgil, get to work on the disaster appeal fund. Bury me across the... Oh, no. So, I'm going to come amongst you now and get some of your views. Are you ready for this, studio audience?
No.
Okay, We'll have a quick shouting vote to get you in the mood for shouting.
How many people here would use the channel tunnel?
Yes.
Yes, you would use it. Those who wouldn't?
No.
Okay, we had a yes with the no's there. Slightly confused. Okay, can I just ask you, you said that you would use it. What, would you feel very safe down there?
I think I would. I'd be going on a train. It would be going straight from A to B. I think I would be fairly safe.
Congratulations on your release. Who wouldn't use it? Who said they wouldn't? Why wouldn't you use the channel?
Well, I mean, British Rail's is bad enough as it is at the moment. You go on holiday, you come back the same day. I mean, you wouldn't get there in the first place, would you, probably?
Okay, that's fine. I think quite a few people will be travelling by the twilight zone from the studio. Anyway, we're gonna have to finish there. You reminded me of this the other night. They were having a debate about disasters and on emergencies and how to cope with them. And they said, what you mustn't do is give out the phone number of the emergency services so that relatives can phone up and find out if their relatives are alive. You mustn't do that because it'll block up the phone lines and banking cannot continue. Sounds a good idea to me, doesn't it? Well, thanks very much. See you later.
Library the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading Don Quixote.
Bless you.
Thank you. And, you know how he makes me want to go, Cervantes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, normally in the library, I can never find the lab. Oh. Never. But this time, I worked it out. You see, what you got in your library these days is not your Armitage Shanks, Blue Water sort of job. It's your high-tech, space-age, tomorrow's world sort of book.
William Willard.
Exactly. You see, you can find it, right, because it's not in a little room or anything anymore. It's up on a desk.
On a desk?
Yeah. So I get up there and I lift up the lid.
As you do.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no bowl. There's no water. There's just a glass screen.
Ah.
So I do me dump, and there's no paper on the roll. Nothing, no. There's these whacking great big sheets of paper all over the place.
Big sheets?
Yeah, yeah. So I wipe myself down, yeah, like you do. Yeah, and yeah. There's no chain, no cistern or nothing. I reach down, right, press this little Ujima Fit button thing, and this light goes...
Blimey.
Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. But
what I thought was a lovely little touch was that after that, out the side here, came a lovely little picture of me turd. Which, you know, it's a nice thing to have, you know, really. Conversation piece, you know. Lovely little thing, yeah, it was.
No, what you've done is you've shat on a photocopier.
Oh. Well, obviously, after that, I had to go on trial, and I was just waiting outside, and I suddenly heard the judge say,
"Hey, you, don't try him! Jail the victim! It's the gums of Chancery Lane!"
My name is Judge Decrepit, I'm a youthful 85. I don't like having rent boys, I prefer to buy.
I was called to the bar, cause I love to get pissed.
As a fellow comic, I admire your avarice.
Hattie boy!
Oh, you like femi diddy men too, do you?
Oh yes, you can stick your tickling stick up me naughty ash any day.
Lovely.
I adjudicate a rape case with solemnity and frown. I only bang my gavel just to keep my heart on down.
Here comes the judge. You get time off your sentence, but time between his thighs.
Here comes the judge.
Don't mind the stench. Though he's been dead 5 years, he's still sitting on the bench.
And if you think that he's too old and his attitude's a threat, chop off his head and count the rings upon his sorry neck.
To FIFA. Don't call me Scarman. An appeal a day keeps the doctors okay.
I believe very firmly in the people's right to strike.
Especially the coppers who strike at the picket lines.
I'm arsehole of the bailey. Here comes Judge Pickles.
I say a man has a right to some snap and tickle.
At least you did it in the house and not against the wall. She was asking for it by being born at all.
Here comes the judge.
All
genuflect. When justice fights the law, what else do you expect?
Here comes the judge.
All go for. Go drink yourself to death up in the bloody north.
Case dismissed.
Tick, 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 tick
time to wander down to number 19 June Whitfield Drive for another edition of the most comforting comedy on the air. Yes, once again, we're all cozy at home in the family house.
And now, as the royal cavalcade turns off the mall and heads away from the palace...
Oh, what a wonderful woman. She's so fantastic. I feel so proud and clean watching her.
I knew it was a good idea to introduce Mrs. Frobisher into our sex life.
No, darling, I mean the Queen. She travels the world, she has millions worshipping her, she gets to meet Charles and Di. Mind you, I wouldn't want her job.
Yeah, well, as the young punky rebel in the family who sometimes doesn't even brush his hair, I agree with the band The Sex Pistols and their song God Save the Queen. You know what I mean? God save our gracious queen, long live our noble queen, God save the queen.
That's quite enough of that, and I don't like that T-shirt you wear of that fellow with the spiky hair, the bad teeth and the criminal expression.
Huh. That's typical that someone as materialist as you can't appreciate a man like Ken Dodd.
Oh, I thought it was John Lydon.
And now a wonderful sight as the royal party turns left up June Whitfield Drive.
Eh?
What?
That's right, June Whitfield Drive. The ornate carriage has now stopped outside number 19, and the Queen is stepping royally out, pausing only for a second to admire the stone cladding before going up to ring the doorbell.
Oh, flippin' Ada.
Oh, golly heck.
Shit. I can't believe it. To think that that hand is going to shake my hand. A hand that is so often partaken in acts of gross self-depravity in the upstairs toilet.
Yes. And what about your hand? But everyone, quick, tidy up. Firstly, get rid of all these magazines. Oh, God, what's this doing here?
It's all right. It's only my copy of Wide Open Gyno Shots. This week, women who've just had babies.
No, that's all right. I mean this copy of Anti-Royalist Monthly.
Oh, it's mine. I'd forgotten I'd taken out a lifetime subscription to it.
And what's this on the settee? The Cromwellian.
Oh, no, that's mine. I buy it for the knitting patterns.
And, Father, talking about patterns, what about the pattern on the new wallpaper?
What? Oh, yes, I never noticed before. It forms a sort of huge sentence.
Smash the monarchy scum.
Oh, no, quick, set fire to the house. Too late.
Hello. Would you like to buy a copy of the Watchtower?
Oh, bloody hell, not today, thanks. We're expecting someone very important. And, whoa, bloody go and have a bath, for God's sake.
Who was that, darling?
Oh, some bloody Jehovah's Witness. Looked a bit like Jeanette Charles.
Who's that?
Oh, you know, that woman who looks like the Queen. Wait a minute.
Oh, oh no.
I think it actually was Jeanette Charles.
Uh-oh, how is Mr. Cozy going to get out of this one? How is the Queen going to explain her absence to President Kaunda of Zambia? Tune in next week when, lo and behold, the Queen tries to get off with Mr. Cozy.
What?
Come on, Mr. Cozy, you little tart. You know you want it.
You've been listening to The Mary Whitehouse Experience. It was written and performed by David Baddiel, Rob Newman, Steve Punk, Hugh Dennett, Joe Brand, Mark Thomas and Skint Video. The producer was Bill Dare.